BoolaNetwork.com, episode 123. Hey kids, Randy Cantrell, coming to you live from the Yellow Studio, BoolaNetwork.com, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, Tuesday, April the 3rd, 2012, an afternoon full of tornadoes here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but thankfully all is well, we're all safe and sound, Yellow Studio is intact. Lots of damage in the area, though. So far, have not heard of any deaths, so that's a good thing. And hopefully, as the night wears on, things will settle down. Hey, come up into the attic with me. We're going to dust off some boxes and just kind of pilfer, peruse a few things, ponder a few things, and see where it takes us, and we'll do it next. Well, you may have seen it on Twitter. You may have even seen it on local or national news. Major, major storms fired up. They've been warning us for a couple of days that these were heading our way. It is that time of year, after all. It is April, and here in Tornado Alley, we are quite accustomed to these sorts of things. And, we have a closet. We have kind of a small closet that is our designated place of safety. The sirens went off, as they are wont to do when tornadoes are in the area. And of course, I'm a huge fan of the show Storm Chasers. And so I do follow Reed Timmer, in his Twitter feed. If you don't, you should. It's well, for those of us in this part of the country, you know, we're interested in those sorts of things. And he's very good. He's very good at keeping people informed. And so even if, you know, as long as you could get a signal to your phone and you can pull up a Twitter app, pretty good way to stay on top of what's going on. Like a lot of people, we were had family that was kind of separated. People were kind of all over the place, out and about. So we were texting one another and making sure everybody was off the road and in some safe structure. These things fired up and they started south of town, and that's normally kind of how it goes. And they work their way up toward the northeast, and in so doing, they pass over the city. But south of here in Lancaster and Arlington, Texas, got some damage, and then out the other direction, Forney, I saw a ton of damage out that way. So, some of the video, you know, I've grown up in this area, and so I have, tornadoes have just been part of life for me as long as I can remember. And I've seen my fair share in real life, and I've seen plenty more in video, thanks to guys like Reed Timmer and his group and others. But you just, you're just still constantly amazed at it. There was a lot of trucking outfits are down around Lancaster where this thing really first fired up, and one stayed on the ground for a good 30 minutes, and it was moving slowly, which made it even more deadly. And man, the containers, the shipping containers, and the trailers of tractor trailer rigs, you know, just flying through the air, and you can certainly see how not only physical damage, but you can certainly see how there could be big loss of lives in these things, especially, you know, when they hit a heavily populated area like this. So far it appears that, again, I've not at this hour, and it's late in the afternoon, actually it's early evening, and I've not yet heard of any deaths, and hopefully there won't be any, but there is plenty of destruction. So that's the update for those of you that are interested in such things. So follow Reed Timmer in your Twitter feed and watch Storm Chasers. I don't know when it kicks back up. I think it'll kick back up in the fall. I'm sure they're taping it right now. And Reed and his troop, they left from Oklahoma and headed down this way, and now they are, you know, they're out east of here. The storm has now moved over into East Texas and Louisiana, and they're doing their thing, man. They're chasing, storm chasing. All right, let me tell you what's on my mind. I want to go, speaking of tornadoes, in many parts of the country, you have basements. And in this part of the country, you don't find very many houses that have basements. I have grown up in Texas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana, and I've never lived anywhere where having a basement was just pretty commonplace. You typically find those, if you were to go north, you really have to get to Kansas City, you know, really from about Kansas City on, you know, points north of there. If you drew some horizontal line across a map, I mean, it seems that that's kind of where they start for whatever reason. Now, even a house that has a basement has an attic. And while basements might be made into living spaces, occasionally you find somebody who will finish out an attic and make some spare room. But that's less common, I think, probably because it requires quite a bit more money. And of course, in this part of the country, air conditioning would just completely eat you alive. And so the attics are places of storage. And here in this part of the country, you have those kind of pull down ladders for the most part. And usually these are found in a garage, and you pull this thing down and this ladder will unfold so that you can get access. And the attic is usually nothing more than plywood nailed down to provide some type of a platform. And you go up there and there'll be a light, and you store your stuff. And it's normally boxes and that kind of stuff. It's not, you know, big furniture or anything, although I have seen that. Well, I've spent my life kind of enjoying pilfering in our attic or in the attic of my grandparents. And I don't mean strangers, you know, family, at least. I'm pilfering at least among familiar people. And just been kind of fascinated by, I don't know, just kind of by the old stuff, you know, whether it was clothing or books or papers or just whatever, you know, it's just kind of cool to see, okay, what's being stored up here? And as you look through some of these things, you realize, you know, toys and that kind of thing. When I was a kid, there were, you know, you'd box up toys that you no longer played with. And this was before the days of eBay and Craigslist. And I'd occasionally, you'd go and you'd dig through and you'd see some toy and, you know, you remember when it was new. You remember wanting it. Now, for whatever reason, it's been relegated to this box in the attic, completely put away. And very frequently, and I'm sure you have felt this when you go through wherever you store stuff, you're digging through stuff and you grab something and you're like, I completely forgot that I had this. You ever felt that way? Sure you have. We all have. Yeah, how could something that you saved your money for, like a toy or something that you just really wanted, end up in a box in an attic? Because something else came along and tickled our fancy. It happens, right? So I'm pondering this some time ago, and I'm thinking about all the time that I've spent in an attic and all in various attics and just pilfering, just looking through stuff. And in some cases, when it's my own stuff, reminiscing, thinking back about stuff. And I kind of went into the virtual attic of BulaNetwork.com, this website, and got to looking around, pilfering, because I wasn't real sure when I started it. Now, Bula Network LLC is the company name, and it's been around a while. But the blog, the first WordPress post, and I just don't recall if I had done anything at this domain in an HTML, I don't much think I did. I've done HTML stuff back from probably about 99, but not at BulaNetwork.com. I know I had done some stuff at my name and a few other domains that I've had. But the first post here was March the 9th, 2009. Yeah, don't bother going back and looking. You're not going to find it. It's still here. It's in draft mode. What I did, I posted stuff for about a year, and I posted pretty regular. There were quite a few pages and pages of posts that I had done over the course of about a year. And toward the latter part of 2009, I guess things got hectic. Life got hectic. I got busy and I got distracted and I kind of purposefully went on hiatus just, you know, for a little bit. And then I came back and I rebooted the website on February the 26th, 2010. And what I did is I went back all the way back to March 9th, 2009 and just kind of wiped everything out. And in fact, that post, that first post of the reboot, was entitled "To Their Moms, They'll Always Be Kids." And with that post was an audio. It was an unnumbered podcast. Well, it really wasn't a podcast because at that point, well, I guess it was a podcast. There was an RSS feed. I don't much think that I had submitted anything to iTunes at that point. I can't be certain. But there is an audio attached to that. It's an unnumbered audio. So I got to looking as I was up here in this virtual attic, and I got to dusting these boxes off and looking, and realized that episode 1 of the podcast, so that was February 26th, and that there was an audio attached to that post. But episode 1, the official episode 1, was on March the 25th, 2010. So right at 2 years ago, not long. I went through and I looked, and I have two unnumbered episodes. Just no number, no designation, just, you know, their audio. In fact, there's no tagging of the MP3s. I think they just, whatever that generic ID3 tag is, you know, Title 1 or something. So there's two of those. There are 19 special episodes. I've just called them special episodes. I gave them no number. Don't ask me why. I don't know why I do these things, but there's 19 of those. And there are 122 regular episodes. Well, that makes sense, right? Because this is episode 123. Or maybe we should call it episode 123. So if you total those up, what you have is there are 143 podcast episodes at BulaNetwork.com. I don't know why. That just seemed fairly interesting to me as I was here in the attic thinking about things and reminiscing and kind of poring over things. 2 years. 2 years, and you know, and you think back, and in so many ways it seems like forever ago, and you do hear people pretty commonly say that internet years are kind of like dog years. You know, 1 year is equal to seven. So in internet years, that's 14 years ago. I'm not sure about that. The site, you know, as I'm up here in the attic, kind of pilfering through all these boxes of memories, the site never, and this is kind of ironic, especially for people that know me, and if you've been listening to me at all, you know me. I'm a very strategic guy. I'm a very strategic thinker. I'm that way about business especially, but I'm that way about life. I would not at all describe myself, and I don't think many people would. I'm not Mr. Impulsive. I am not, I'm not a guy who's going to set about with some knee-jerk reaction. A lot of people today kind of use the whole ready, aim, fire thing, and there's nothing terribly new about that. And then some people argue, you know, it really should be, you know, fire, aim, ready. I'm a big believer in ready. I'm a big believer in preparation. I'm not overly so. I'm not a believer in just getting bogged down. I'm not a believer in, okay, we're going to continue to dot I's and cross T's and continue to dot I's and cross T's. I'm all about, you know, if we can get 80% there, then let's move forward. I don't have to have everything perfect. I've never suffered that malady. I'm probably a little bit more focused on the aim part. I do want to, I would probably rather get that right. I'm going to assume if I can get 80% of the ready right, okay, good enough. But let's try to take aim at least. And I'm not bashful or reticent to fire. So I don't get bogged down too much in it all. But at the same time, I am absolutely positively not a fly by the seat of your pants guy. I am rather irked and put out and impatient with people that want to run their business or their life by the seat of their pants. It's just not how I roll. It's not how I'm wired. And in thinking about that, as I'm here in the attic, looking through these boxes, it's kind of ironic that BulaNetwork.com is a website. There really was not, and frankly, true confession time, there still is not any real true focus or strategy. And yet there is, and I have hinted at it before. I've probably even outright said it before, but I haven't really dwelt on it. And it has been a bit of a puzzling thing for people over the last couple of years, as people have asked me, you know, what I do, what's this all about? And they listen to an episode or two, and some people, you know, don't like it and hate it, and that's fine. And other people like it a lot, and I get good encouragement, and I'm thankful to you. Well, actually, I'm thankful to both of you. I mean, for the people that don't like it and leave, I'm just as thankful for them as I am for those of you that kind of hang with it. But I get it. I understand the big question mark over everybody's head, because I can do a show, I can do a video, or I can do a podcast on, I don't know, something to do with personal development. I could do something, you know, about just, I don't know, I could just wax on about my own philosophies about business. I can talk about selling. In fact, the very first post in March, on March 9th, 2009, was about selling. And in particular, it was about commission-based selling. And that, it was a show that I did where I was introducing to people who were managing commission-based salespeople some of the tools. In fact, one tool in particular that I had devised based on my love of hockey that had enabled me to better manage sales teams through the years. And that's what that episode was about. So that's kind of how the thing got started, based on my roots in selling. It has since kind of taken off, and it's just kind of whatever, you know, whatever's on my mind. And it's not that I'm not holding forth as though I feel like, okay, I'm somebody special and you need to listen to me. I am an experienced guy, and I have realized over the course of the last 2 years that one thing that really separates me is we are so dominated. The internet is so dominated, and social media seems to be so dominated by the 20-somethings, the 30-somethings, occasionally the 40-somethings. And here I am, a 50-something. I saw somebody, was it Guy Kawasaki? I think it was Guy Kawasaki had posted something. I think it was just today, as a matter of fact. Boy, it's been a long day with all the tornadoes and stuff. About, you know, how can you be a 20-something life coach? I mean, you haven't even lived. Have you really lived enough life to be considered a life coach if you're 20-something? I mean, don't you have to have? I think he quoted somebody or made reference to somebody who had made a statement that, you know, don't you have to be closer to the grave than the womb in order to be a good life coach? It struck me kind of humorous and ironic all at the same time. More and more I'm finding myself, or I'm finding people that are drawn to me, are men in my demographic. And I'm not saying it's exclusive, but I tend to hear more from older men than I do any other group. And I occasionally will hear from people who are down and out. I'll hear from people who want some piece of advice because they got laid off, you know, 11 months ago, and they're looking for an answer. And they might be a younger or older, all points in between. But increasingly, I'm finding that either I am resonating with, or people are finding me, as you hear the wonder dogs barking because the shades are open. Who knows? It's somebody walking down the sidewalk, and it's Rosie. Odd how you can tell the bark of if you own multiple dogs, and ask any pet owner, they own multiple dogs. It doesn't matter which one's barking. You can tell their bark. Maybe that's not odd. It just, I'll say, well, Rosie's barking. And people, if I'm on the phone and somebody will say, well, how can you tell? I'm like, she barks very differently than her brother does. And he doesn't bark all that much. He lets her. And there's a lesson there. Okay, where was I? Demographic. You know, the space is absolutely, the internet is absolutely dominated by younger people, and that's, there's no shock there, and I'm not put off by that. But it has caused me to ponder as I'm sitting here in the attic and I'm looking through these boxes and I'm reminiscing and I'm thinking about, okay, my strategy was pretty simple. For me, BulaNetwork.com was less of a platform, but the internet was a platform. Now, platform has gone on to be this, you know, big honking deal. And a lot of people talk about it and a lot of people write about it, and well, they should. And I concur. I agree. and you got to have your own platform and yada, yada, yada. I began to look at the internet back in the late 99 era, and I just saw the terrific nature of the platform. And so by the time I embraced podcasting, the Yellow Studio was here. The Yellow Studio was not built to podcast. But I had the equipment, I had the tools, I had the stuff that I was using for other purposes. And it just made sense. And with a little bit of encouragement from some friends, and I had enjoyed discovering the whole thing about podcasting. But that wasn't the real purpose of the Yellow Studio. It has since morphed into kind of a new media studio. I don't know. I'm thinking the Yellow Studio existed for a couple of years before podcast, you know, the very first audio was recorded and put on the internet for public consumption. And my thought at the time, and my thought, frankly, even now, and I'm just now kind of embracing a notion of it being something slightly different, if not hopefully better. My notion was the internet is a platform, and it's a great platform. And when I began, I thought, you know, I can just share some thoughts and ideas, and I don't mind telling you exactly what kind of got it started and sparked. I was sitting here, and for whatever reason, I was thinking about legacy, and I was thinking about heritage. You ever done that? Have you seen this show, Who Do You Think You Are? I mean, it's a pretty compelling show. You really should. I'm not a huge TV fan other than sports. Well, I do reference a lot of Discovery and A&E shows, I realize. I'm pretty picky about the TV that I'm willing to watch. And thanks to DVRs, it's all time shifted. This show is about people who go back to trace their roots. And invariably, it's going to be some celebrity, so it's going to be somebody you know. Reba McEntire was one, for instance. Lionel Richie was one, I remember. Martin Sheen, he was one. And these people typically go back and they typically trace one leg of their heritage. They either typically want to know more about their mother's side of the family or their father's side of the family. And in many cases, it takes them to foreign countries. And it takes them down paths that they never knew they were going to travel. And they find out some pretty compelling things. And the stories are well told. And it kind of makes you want to do it. Well, it's a heavily sponsored show by Ancestry.com. And that's fine. I'm not offended by that in the least. I sort of did that on my own for my kids. So I'm sitting here one day, and I don't remember when this was exactly, but I fired up the webcam and I pulled the microphone and I just sat here. And I hit record, and I had no script in front of me. I just sat down and I thought, you know, for my kids, for my grown kids and my grandkids, I'm going to think back as far as I can. What are my first memories? And I'm just going to start telling my story, kind of unfiltered. And I did that. I recorded, you know, for a period of time, and then I would stop and I would, you know, label that, and then I would do it again and I would do it. And I did this over the course of 2 days. I remember that. I don't know why I remember that, but I did it over the course of 2 days. And I think I ended up with somewhere, you know, just slightly over 4 hours worth of video. And I put this on a USB memory stick, a USB drive, and I gave a copy to my son. I put the same files on another drive and gave it to my daughter. I put them on another drive And my wife put that in a safe place. And I don't know that anybody's seen it yet. Well, from there till now, I thought, well, the internet just gives me a place to kind of hold forth and to, okay, here's what I think, and here's what life has taught me, and here's a few things that I know. And admittedly, with a business slant, but, you know, you can't help but come through, even with a business slant. I mean, people can get some sense of who you are. And I didn't have, I'm gonna admit this, I didn't have myself in mind, and maybe even worse, I didn't have you in mind. I wasn't thinking about you. I honestly wasn't thinking about anybody. I wasn't thinking about anybody wanting to listen, wanting to see it, wanting to, I never, it just didn't dawn on me. Well, okay, get a crowd. Yes, I put it out for public consumption. Yes, I went ahead and did the iTunes thing. So I guess clearly I was expecting something, but I didn't have any number. I wasn't looking for the word everybody uses today is traction. I wasn't looking for any traction. You know, here was my thought. My thought was nobody's really going to care. You know, number one, I'm not anybody in the grand scheme of things. I'm a guy with 3 going on 4 decades of business experience. Some of it is pretty noteworthy. I've achieved a few things in life. I've been and consider myself now successful. I've generated lots of revenue for lots of companies in my lifetime. I know a thing or two about business building. I know a thing or two about selling. I know an awful lot about marketing and sales. And so, you know, there's that. But I wasn't sitting here thinking, well, I'm the grand poopah. People should just, and they should, the minute I talk, it's the old Merrill Lynch commercial that you probably are unfamiliar with, you know. When Merrill Lynch talks, everybody listens. Well, I didn't think that. I wasn't that arrogant or pompous. I just thought, you know, I mean, there will come a day and I won't be here. And because of the internet, I mean, this stuff, it's a great platform, right? For legacy building? You bet it is. Now, if YouTube pulls all the videos and they wipe everybody out and they start, okay, well, I've got all my video files in a folder in my hard drive. And so I'm recording all of this content, and quite frankly, who I was thinking about was the same people that I was thinking about when I recorded kind of this this history that I did in front of a webcam. I thought, well, there'll come a day and, hey, look at what Dad recorded. Look at what Dad said. Let's listen to what Dad said here and there. And hey, look, here's Granddad. And they call me Papa, by the way. So, you know, what did Papa say back in 2012 when he was still alive? I don't mean that in a morbid way. I thought it was kind of cool. In fact, I still think it's cool. I think it's way cool. That's how it began, and that's what drove me. And it wasn't, frankly, until very recently that I began to think, dude, you're crazy. You need to be doing something. You need to have some... You know, some strategy, and yes, there needs to be some business purpose, and yes, if you can, you need to try to generate some revenue because you need it. Well, sure, we all need it. We can all use more. But, you know, because you can, right? Because you can. And maybe you ought to share with people what you're trying to do. You know, you've talked about how you studied and you spent too much money and too many years learning what this whole thing about internet marketing was. And a number of you have written in to me, and thank you for that, that you have found me because I have been kind of this cynical voice about internet marketing. And I'll tell you this as a sidebar on internet marketing. When I first began to look at it in late 99 and really spent the better part of the next 3 to 4 years looking at it, studying it, even buying products and seeing, okay, what's this all about? You know, it's changed. It's very different now than it was then. I mean, many of the things that you could do then would be very difficult today because, well, the ocean's, it's more crowded. It's just more crowded. And that makes things a bit more difficult. And some of the strategies have changed, and some people have gone by the wayside, and some people are still around. Some people have morphed and adapted, and I've stayed abreast of it. I've stayed on top of it. I'm fascinated mostly by the persuasion techniques of these people, and some of them are very good. Now, many of them are very manipulative, but I have no problem tipping my hat to someone who is embracing, you know, really good persuasion techniques in their marketing. And admittedly, much of what they peddle is worthless, but people still line up and love what they do. So I've stayed abreast of it, but as I have said, and I've gone on record even recently, that I'm most attracted to those people that are carving out some niche and doing something, because the reason that the IM space is so profitable and the reason that you see people who may start out with one, in one thing but morph into what is typically called the IM space is because it is so lucrative. And the reason it's lucrative is quite simple. It's very, very appealing to a lot of people. Here I am looking at the internet some years ago as a platform for what I've just described. Most people are looking at the internet as a platform for ways to get rich. And most people are looking at the internet. I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to be persuaded. Most people are looking at the internet for a way to get rich quick, because of the sheer magnitude of it. They look at the internet and they look at the vastness of it and they think, man, you know, I could get 100 people, I could get 200 people, I could end up with 1,000 people, I could end up with 5,000 people, and I can email them this and I can sell them that. And if I just sell them something, then I can make a lot of money. And theoretically, that's all true. And even practically speaking, it could be true. I never wanted to do it. No, I'm not saying I never wanted to be rich. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you that I was opposed to being rich or getting rich quickly. I mean, come on. I'm no fool. You could be poor or rich. Which would you want to be? Well, give me rich. Okay, well, you can do it either quickly or you can do it really slowly. Well, give me fast. I pick A, fast. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't? So I'm right there with you. Except I didn't pursue it. You know, I wasn't thinking, well, I'll just, you know, I'll write the $47 or the $97 ebook about, you know, some nonsense and throw that up on, you know, some site and I'll get people to sign up as affiliates. And I just, my problem was once I dove in and realized what was going on and realized that it was a biz op thing, I was, other than the techniques for persuasion, I was quite repulsed by it all, to tell you the truth. It was just very scammy and very, it was very carny like, and I haven't considered myself a carny. It might be fun to be a carny, though, now that I think about it. So as I'm sitting here in the attic and I'm dusting off these boxes and I'm looking through things and I'm reminiscing here. And the great thing about reminiscing is the consideration of the past. As part of the story and the explanation for why you are who you are and why you are where you are. Right? I mean, it helps us connect the dots. It helps us make sense of things. And as we consider the present, then we are naturally forced to consider, yeah, you guessed it, the future. And so that's where I'm at in the attic. So we've talked about the past. We've now considered the present and what has brought us up to the present. And so now what's left? Well, now is the future. And what is the future? And I don't know, but I know this. I know that it's time for another reboot. I don't know what exactly that's going to look like. I know this. I know that there needs to be some strategy. There needs to be some more targeted thing. Will that thing be here at BulaNetwork.com? I don't know. I've talked about barcoderadio.net. Go back. I don't remember the episode. Barcoderadio.net. Go over there. Go to the website. And you'll read. And the little, there's not much copy. It's very short. And I wrote it. And that copy explains exactly what's going to happen at barcoderadio.net. Now, I've admitted and I've already committed that I will pull back the curtain here at BulaNetwork.com. I'm not going to do it there, but I will do it here and share with you kind of what I've got in mind and what I'm going to do. And I'm working behind the scenes on that. And there are a few other things that are, I would describe as very niche-y, okay, very targeted that I'm working on. And I'm going to use the same format that I'm using here because I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable behind a microphone. I'm comfortable looking into a webcam. It may not be the most riveting thing. And if you don't like it, tough, build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, go somewhere else. I'm not offended. I'm rather thick skinned like that. So it doesn't bother me in the least. And I'm finding myself more and more really wanting to reach out to, well, I've said this before, so there's no deep, dark secret here, but I'm really, really, really driven to help guys that are 30 and 40. Those guys that are one or two miles back behind me, if a mile represents a decade. And why not? Let's make a mile represent a decade. I'm rather driven to help guys that are 1 or 2 miles back behind me on the path of life. And I'm really intrigued by guys that are 1 or 2 ahead of me. The problem is the guys that are 1 or 2 ahead of me, not many of those guys are very forthcoming. You figured that out? There's an awful lot of guys like me that, well, we didn't have very many mentors because, you know, there was a generation that just, I don't know, they played their cards close to their vest, didn't talk a lot, didn't share a lot. In fact, there's a lot of guys in my demographic that fit that bill, which may be why increasingly guys in their 50s who are finding me, they're dropping me emails. And I'm greatly appreciative, by the way. I'm greatly appreciative no matter what your age is, but you know, if you're a bird in my flock, I'm even more appreciative. So it's probably time to get down out of the attic, you think? Kind of dusty up here anyway. Probably time to get a new roll of tape up these boxes. Put things away. And there's a few things downstairs that we probably need to go ahead and box up while we're at it, because 2 years ago they were kind of shiny and new, and well, we don't play with them very much anymore. They've been replaced, you know. We got old books. We've read them. And you look at them and you think, well, I may reread that one day, and yeah. So we get a box out, and with every book that we put in that box, we ask the same question. And we put it in the box. And then one of these days down the road, we're going to go back up into the attic, and that box that we sealed, and we grabbed the magic marker, and we wrote the date on it, maybe, but we certainly rewrote books, taped it up, put it away, forgot about it. Until we come up here next time and do this all over again. It's good to do this. You don't want to do it all the time, but it's good to do it every now and then. Kind of ponder your past. Bring yourself to the present. Think about how things are. Look back at why you made some decisions that you made and kind of kick yourself and say, man alive, what was I thinking? But it is kind of cool as you crack open the box and you pull something out and you think, man alive, I completely forgot that I had this. And sometimes just sometimes, if you're like me, I hardly ever come down that ladder empty-handed. I couldn't tell you the last time that happened. I almost always have a handful or two handfuls of something that I've decided these no longer belong in the attic. These need to be back in my life. These things need to be back in the yellow studio. BulaNetwork.com. Hopefully the future will be, well, less dusty than the past. And hopefully we'll make some changes and we'll get on track. Might even make a buck or two. That'd be kind of cool. And I'll share with you those stories. And you might be so inclined to listen to those stories. I got a feeling that if I talk a little bit more about making money and kind of telling you how you might could make some money by doing it myself, well, you know what? We might just have something then. That'd be pretty cool. All right, multiple calls to action. I know you're not supposed to do it. And you already know me. You know I don't care. BarcodeRadio.net. Go check it out. If you know anybody that just wants to know more about barcoding, and that'd be a company, of course, send them over there. If you're just curious, go over there. You probably aren't. Now, people tell you that, you know, you build your list. I don't. I should. Go to the About page. I know. I don't have it prominent. This is something I need to change. I know that. Click that tab up there at the top of the page. There's a tab called About. If you will click that, there's a video. Ignore that. There's a cartoon. Pay close attention to that because it's a really funny cartoon. And below that, there's a box. Enter your email address there. I'm going to send you one email a week. That's it. Come on. Do me a solid. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com, and this is the Yellow Studio.